Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Jamie Filer, personal trainer and self-development coach. Welcome to your Monday morning mindset shift, where I'm going to teach you how to take what you're thinking and make it better. The glass is always half full, my friends. Today's shift is this. Why do we keep getting in our own way? I'm guilty of it. Maybe you're guilty of it. Why do we sabotage ourselves? Why do we go off track with our meal plan? Why do we convince ourselves that it's okay to take a week off of activity? And notice how I didn't say exercise or workouts, movement. Why do we purposely pick fights with our significant others? Why do we attack other people? Why don't we apply for jobs that we know we're capable of and leave the security of current ones? Because that is also self-sabotage, right? Not going for something that's outside of your comfort zone is sabotaging your potential. Why do we sabotage ourselves? Here's what I think. Number one, we don't have goal clarity. You guys know how important this is. I emphasize it all the time. You sabotage yourself because you didn't clarify what the finish line was, or you don't know or don't want to verbalize why the finish line is important. Why are your goals important to you? Some days you might think, yeah, you know what? I'm totally cool with this nutrition plan. I'm down for it. I want to lose fat. I am uncomfortable in my own skin, right? But then you say, oh, but you know what? Drinks are great. I love margaritas. I deserve to go out with the girls and let loose. The answer is yes, of course you do. You should enjoy with your friends. Our plans are all about balance and moderation. But what happens when going out for one drink turns into four? Well, you're no longer balanced and moderate, right? Now you've officially stepped into self-sabotage territory, right? Conflicting goals are tough for you to reconcile. If you don't have goal clarity, if you don't always have the finish line in mind, it is easy for you to get distracted. Shiny new object. Right? It's the same thing. So you always need to know what it is you're working towards. Again, this can apply to your fitness journey. This can also apply to your job, right? You can want something for yourself, but then when something easier comes along, you go for that. At the end of the day, that's what it comes back to. You don't have a plan. You have no idea how you're going to get to your goal. So it's easy to step away from it or stop prematurely. A marathon runner who intends to run 26.2 miles, but doesn't actually have a route of like what that 26.2 miles looks like, or a Garmin watch to let them know where they are in time and space, or anything to indicate that they're making progress on their mileage. How are you supposed to know what you're doing if you don't have actual concrete steps or action plans to get there, right? Our friends who are on hikes or who love hiking, they're always mile markers. You are this far into your hike. You are this far into, again, the marathon or whatever it is. You always know where you are, right? Like when you guys send your check-ins to me and you set your big win and your goals, right? We've set a mile marker down. I made this win. This week, I am planting the mile marker, and then my goals for this week are. But what happens when you don't set goals? What happens when you don't have a plan? Again, it's easy to fuck around and find out. It's easy to go off and do whatever is quick, easy, convenient, cheap, fun at the time, instead of focusing on finishing the 26.2 miles. And then this is an obvious one. We hate restriction, right? If you've ever read Gretchen Rubin's personality quiz, right? Some of us are we just like to rebel. We rebel against what we want. We rebel against what our parents told us to want. We rebel against what our teachers said we should want, right? But again, the other thing is that as soon as I tell you, this is the other reason I don't prescribe meal plans for my clients unless you're desperate for it, is as soon as I tell you not to have something, you're thinking about it all the time. Right? Restriction breeds rebellion. If you've ever binged on a food, I've done this, right? Especially pre-bodybuilding competitions. Right? As soon as you tell yourself, I'm not going to have that ice cream. I'm going to stay away from alcohol. I'm going to avoid chocolate. Now all you fucking see is the chocolate, is the ice cream. You're just waiting for the diet to end so that you can have that food. Right? But also, maybe once upon a time, your parents were like, you can't date so and so. This person isn't good for you. Right? And then what happened? Okay. Well, it makes that person seem that much more desirable. Again, even if they're not good for you, even if that person isn't good for you, even if, well, again, that food, that alcohol isn't good for you, we always tend to focus on the things and the people we can't have. Our bodies aren't wired to not desire something, right? We are hedonistic entities. We are wired for pleasure. But there is a difference between completely restricting yourself from it and then craving it that much more. And again, enjoying it without indulging in it. So we self-sabotage because we hate restriction. What's the solution? Don't restrict. We self-sabotage because we want to feel safe. Why? Because safety prevents you from failing, prevents you from falling. Not doing something, getting in your own way is less scary than experiencing failure. I have a friend who's 3 weeks out from her bodybuilding show, and she was self-sabotaging. So obviously she's supposed to be on a diet. She was going off the rails. Why? Because in her head, she didn't feel like she looked 4 weeks out from the show. So rather than experience a third place or a second place or anything but a first place, she was self-sabotaging. So her coach would say, E, you're not ready. We probably shouldn't do this show. See how the mind works, right? But then what happens? Well, it prevents you from being successful too. Like, sure, she didn't fail the bodybuilding show. She's going to be fine, but she's also not going to be successful at it, right? We assign so much meaning and significance to success, right? Last week, the topic of the Sunday sermon was defining failure, but we should also define what success looks like, right? Because there's a whole cascade of what if I become successful, right? If we take a look at the percentage of lottery winners who end up going bankrupt when after they hit the lottery, it's like disproportionate, right? Because A, they don't have a plan for what they're going to do with the money. They probably don't have a financial advisor, and they've spent the majority of their life not having that much money, that now having that much money is weird. It's not safe. So the self-sabotage prevents you from failing, but more importantly, it prevents you from succeeding, which may preserve your ego. And that's what's safe. Okay. So getting in our own way makes us, even though it doesn't feel good, right? You know, when you're messing up, it makes you feel safe, and that's okay. All right. We got to figure out the reward that you're getting, right? If you go back to James Clear's Atomic Habits, if you haven't read it, similar to the Four Agreements, this is like one of my top five books of all time. He says, make it easy, make it obvious, make it attractive, and make it satisfying. You will not do something. I know this. Again, we're hedonistic, wired for pleasure. You will not do something unless it feels good, right? Think about it. Like, what do we crave? We crave shelter, we crave food. We crave the touch of other people. This is what we're wired for. Why? Because the ultimate reward is in feeling full, loved and cared for, touched, right? Protected, like secure. There's a shelter over our head. We can pay the rent. Okay. So once you understand what is attractive and what is satisfying to you in terms of goals, you can break out of the self-sabotaging behavior. So, what are you getting out of it? What are you getting out of cheating? I don't really like the word cheating on your diet, going off your meal plan. What are you getting out of drinking more alcohol than is, again, I don't want to say normal, but is out of your realm of once you get past the point of tipsy. Okay, there's that, right? So, either, again, you love riskiness. You love the comfort in avoiding failure. You're okay coasting in mediocrity. None of those are good or bad, right? I am not here to judge.
I've fucked up so many times, all of them. Okay. I live in a glass house, so I'm not going to throw stones. But what are you getting out of that behavior? Because in my head, it makes so much more sense. You will keep yourself wealthy and loved and touched and happy and all of the self-love coming back to you if you follow through on your goals. In fact, to me, I was just thinking about this, right? Like I've been traveling for 2.5 days. I've been in Orlando for work. I feel bad when I eat off plan, not guilty. I don't care. I don't have an association with like Cheesecake Factory and I'm cheating on my diet. I don't feel good digestively when I eat off plan. My body doesn't feel good when I don't move it. So the reward for me is keeping my digestive system healthy, right? The reward for me is not putting processed trash in my body so my anxiety doesn't flare up, because that's bad. That's what I associate with bad. Obviously, anxiety, right? Donuts equal depression because they're processed, because too much sugar will mess this up. Remember, your gut is a second brain, okay? So figure out the reward you're getting and whether it's coming from the sabotage. Is there actually reward in the sabotage, or is there reward in you fulfilling your potential and you fulfilling your destiny? All right. So just as I always encourage you to find your why, make a list of things you can and cannot control when you feel like everything's going to hell, right? Or I have you make charts and graphs with pros and cons of dating this person, applying for this job, even doing this program. I want you guys to come away from this talk with a list of why you think you're holding on to this behavior or this mindset. Then I want you to crumble it up and burn it, because you are better than that.
And that's your Monday morning mindset shift. I appreciate you listening. If you loved what you heard, subscribe, like, share, and tag me in stories about this podcast. I'll share back. Until next time, the glass is always half full, my friends.